Good to see each of you this evening. Hope you're well and had a good afternoon, as I mentioned. This evening, I want to look at the subject of lifting up Christ. As always, our handouts are on the pedestal before you. If you didn't get one of those, you might want to go and get one as we continue in our study. If Christ is to be a benefit to man, it is a necessity that he be lifted up. Look at number 396 in your songbooks. 396. Song is entitled, Lift Him Up. You know this song? 396. We'll try to sing it regardless. Does anyone know it? Because of the message that it has. If you're there at 396, look at the words, and then we'll come back and try to sing this together. The first verse says, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave a key. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 2, oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words he said. I'll draw all men unto me. Verse 3, don't exalt the preacher. Don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel simple, full and free. Prove him and you will find that promise is true. I'll draw all men unto me. Verse 4, lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world and you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift him up, still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Do we know it? All right, we're going to try it. I'm going to pull my microphone down so I won't completely drowned everybody out. We'll sing the first and the fourth, and then we're going to look at some lessons in regards to his being lifted up. How to reach the masses, men of every birth. For the answer, Jesus gave a key. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world and you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw men unto me. Lift him up, still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Well, most of us knew it, or else you're quick learners. As we think about that song and the subject of lifting up Christ, the question is asked, how to reach the masses, men of every birth? Well, the answer, Jesus gave a key, lift him up. The second verse says, the world is hungry spiritually, lift him up. The third verse, exalt neither preacher nor pew, lift him up. And then finally, live as a Christian ought, lift him up. That song and the verses that, of course, we will examine together will show us the necessity of lifting up Christ in at least five different ways. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, and he said to him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We find in John 12 that Jesus was approached. Some Greeks had come to Philip, if you recall. Philip was a name of Greek origin, so it's likely these Greeks were coming to Philip because of that origin. Philip then, the scripture tells us, goes to Andrew. Those Greeks said, sir, we would see Jesus. Andrew and Philip then took that request to Jesus. Jesus began to speak, the Bible says in 12 and verse 32, He said to them, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Here in these two passages, John 3:14 and John 12 and verse 32, we see that Jesus was to be lifted up. It's necessary then that he be lifted up in five ways as we examine this evening. First, he must be lifted up on the cross. On the cross. John chapter 3, again to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Lifting him up then. Jesus here was speaking of his coming death on the cross, though that was not apparent, obviously, to Nicodemus. But Jesus said he must be lifted up. In John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking to Jews. You remember in verse 30, as he spake these words, many Jews believed on him. Then said Jesus, "Those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are my disciples indeed." Just prior to that, he had said in verse 28 unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Jesus had to be lifted up on the cross. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 and verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 5, "Though he were a son," speaking of Jesus, "yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect," that is, being complete in redemption's plan, "being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." Notice he learned by obedience, that is, being lifted up on the cross. Lift the precious Savior up. How? First, he must be lifted up on the cross. But second, he must be lifted up from the tomb. What good was the crucifixion without the resurrection? It was of no good, of course. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, Peter speaking, of course, the other apostles on this great day of Pentecost. "And brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of his fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ," notice, "that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus," notice, "hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Peter made it very plain, and these other apostles speaking on that day, that Jesus had not only died by crucifixion, being innocent at their cruel hands, but he was also buried, and that he rose again, and now sits, having ascended, on the throne of David. He must be lifted up from the tomb. Romans 1 and verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness," notice, "by the resurrection of the dead." Declared to be the Son of God with power. Yes, he performed miracles. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He rose. He resurrected others from the dead. But in order for him to be proven to be the Son of God with power, he had to overcome death and come out of that tomb. He had to be lifted up on the cross. In that same semblance, Paul speaks of our obedience to the gospel in Romans 6, 4, and 5. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up," notice, "from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." He had to be lifted up from the tomb. Romans 8 and verse 11, Paul said, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ," notice, "from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And then we find these words in the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Lift the precious Savior up. Lifting up Christ. First, he had to be lifted up on the cross. Second, he had to be lifted up from the tomb. But third, he must be lifted up from the earth. Lifted up from the earth. In John chapter 6, we notice the background of the teaching here. Jesus was speaking to his disciples as well as to others on that occasion. Among other things, he said, "My flesh is meat and my blood is drink indeed." And he revealed to them that unless one ate his flesh and drank his blood, then he would not have eternal life. That perplexed these people. They were seeing that in a literal sense. Jesus meant, of course, in a figurative sense, meaning that they should partake of all his teachings. And on that occasion, many seeing what he said, failing to understand it, went away. Remember that Jesus said to his disciples, "Will you also go away?" And they said to him, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." But it was in the midst of that conversation in John chapter 6 and verse 62 where Jesus asked this question, "What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Now, that was a question that he had asked that was intended for them to think seriously about what they were saying and what he was saying. But undoubtedly, they didn't have the idea that he would ascend from the earth in their presence. But of course, we know that he did. John chapter 12 and verse 32, we've already noticed, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me." Lifted up on the cross, yes, but it went further than that. He had to be lifted up to the right hand of God. He had to ascend into heaven. In John chapter 20, Jesus here spoke to Mary Magdalene after he was raised from the dead, but before he ascended to the Lord. And he said in John 20 and verse 17, Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Now, he didn't mean that she couldn't touch him, but not to lay hold on her. He had other business to take care of. And so he said, "Touch me not, I am not yet ascended to my Father," implying that he was going to, which of course we know that he did, not many days after this. "But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And so the table had been set. When Acts chapter 1 comes around, the Bible reveals that Jesus went out the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they asked him a question, said, "Lord, will thou at this time restore again to the kingdom of Israel?" Jesus said unto them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which are appointed." They asked that question because they were ignorant still about the nature of the kingdom. Jesus had said in John 18:36 to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom more of this world than my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate realized what Jesus was saying. His kingdom was not a rival kingdom to Rome. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. And so these disciples asked that question, still in ignorance on this occasion. But following this, and their being baptized with the Holy Spirit, guided into all truth, as Jesus said they would be in Acts chapter 2, they never asked that question again. Guided into all truth as they were, they understood fully the nature of the kingdom. But the Bible tells us in Acts 1 and verse 9 beginning, "When he had spoken these things while they beheld," notice, "he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, saying, which also said to them, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again, in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So notice, he had asked the question, "What and if the Son of Man shall be lifted up to where he was before?" And yet here he is. We see the occurrence, the occasion when that occurred. That is here on the Mount of Olives as his disciples were around him. He was lifted up from the earth. Mission accomplished then. He had to be lifted up from the cross. He had to be lifted up from the tomb. He had to be lifted from the earth. But then fourth, he must be lifted up to the throne. To the throne. We've noticed Acts chapter 1, and we'll notice again in a moment, but that is earth's vantage point of the ascension of Jesus. His disciples saw him ascend, his apostles, minus one, of course, as Matthias was to be appointed later in that chapter. These 11 apostles saw him ascend. That's earth's vantage point. When we look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we see this same scene from heaven's vantage point. And yet we see it's hundreds of years before it actually occurred. Here in prophetic terms, Daniel was revealed and given a vision. And he said, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days," another name or term speaking about the Father. And they brought him near before him, who? The angels. And there was given him dominion, glory, notice, and a kingdom. But that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion, an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. One examines this passage, he understands fully that there was to be given here on this occasion a kingdom. That was prophetic terms in Daniel 7, when we come to Acts 1, as we just noticed previous to this. Those disciples standing there on the Mount of Olives saw him ascend into the clouds. Now remember in Daniel 7, heaven's vantage point, he came out of the clouds to the Ancient of Days, where was given him a kingdom, where was given him a throne then. In order to be a king, he has to have a kingdom. He can't be a king minus a kingdom. Premillennialism of our day tells us the kingdom is yet to be established. Well, then we don't have a king. If you don't have a kingdom, you don't have a king. And so Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. Before the Sanhedrin, the disciples of Acts chapter 5, you recall, were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. They were beaten on that occasion. Prior to that in Acts 4, Peter and John had been brought before the council. They too were threatened not to teach or preach Jesus anymore. Peter said on this occasion in Acts chapter 5, we ought to obey men obey God rather than men. Then following that in Acts 5 verses 30 and following, God of our fathers, Peter said to these officials, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Notice he is raised to sit on his throne. He's a prince, he's a king, and he's a savior. We find also in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 these words by Paul. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He has incorporated three of those liftings up, if you will. When he was died, when he was raised again, and then when he was ascended to the right hand of God. Lift the precious Savior up. He must be lifted up to his throne, Ephesians 1 and verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, lifting up Christ. He had to be lifted up on the cross. He had to be lifted up from the tomb. He had to be lifted up from the earth. He had to be lifted to his throne. Now, when we examine these in our present day, all of them have been accomplished. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Jesus was lifted up from the tomb. Jesus was lifted up from the earth, and Jesus was lifted to his throne, the right hand of God. But then in the fifth place, he must be lifted up in our hearts or in our lives. Another place for the exaltation, for the lifting up of Christ. Now, concerning this fifth point or this fifth place, if he's raised from the dead, or if he's lifted on the cross, raised from the dead, lifted out of the tomb and lifted from the earth and lifted to his throne, it does us no good unless he is lifted up in our lives. In John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he said to them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentioned matters about that. He said, ye are the light of the world. Notice he had said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. But now he turns to his disciples, including us, and says, ye are the light of the world. Like the sun and the moon, the sun produces its own light. The moon simply reflects the light of the sun. Jesus is the light in the sense that he is the one that produces light, if you will, spiritually. But we merely reflect that. That's what he says to us in Matthew 5 and verse 14. He must be lifted up in our lives or in our hearts. We find in John chapter 6 and verse 35, to this same group that earlier we mentioned that Jesus had said, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood in order to have eternal life. He said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. In the same sense, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood in the context of John 6 means being obedient to his will, lifting him up in our lives or in our hearts. In Romans chapter 8 and John chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says, I am the door, Jesus speaking. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. We have to enter by Him. Jesus here speaking to the Pharisees. I am the door. We find in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus was here on the occasion of the death of Lazarus. Prior to His bringing Lazarus back from the dead, Martha came to Him. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He has to be lifted up in our lives in order for His death on the cross, in order for His resurrection from the tomb, in order for His ascension to the right hand of God, in order for His being lifted up from the earth, mean anything at all to us. His death will have been in vain as far as we're concerned. We fail to lift Him up in our lives. His resurrection from the dead will be meaningless unless we lift Him up in our own hearts. His ascending out from the earth and into heaven will be useless for us unless we lift Him up in our own lives. And His being enthroned at the right hand of God, receiving His kingdom as a king, will mean nothing to us unless we are lifted up, or unless we lift Him up in our lives and in our heart. Remember in John 12 when Jesus spoke to these Greeks and Philip and Andrew, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto Me. That drawing factor, of course, is the gospel, God's power to salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. The invitation is issued by Jesus in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The labor under consideration is the heavy burden of sin. He'll give us rest from that. He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and My burden is light. We noticed previously in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, being made perfect, that is, having completed everything that God intended for Him to do and His will upon earth for Him, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. In other words, to all them that lift Him up in their lives and in their hearts. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Notice, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. He must be lifted up in our lives. The lifting up of Christ. He had to be lifted up on the cross. He was, died for our sins. He had to be lifted up from the tomb. He was resurrected the third day, brought to life by the power of God. He was lifted up from the earth, as the apostles gave witness in Acts chapter 1. He was lifted up to the throne. Daniel's vision in Daniel 7. We see then the complete picture. Not only do we have man's vantage point as He ascended into the clouds, but heaven's vantage point is He was received from the clouds, seated at the right hand of God, becoming king over His kingdom, enthroned at the right hand of God. But then He must be lifted up in our lives. Again, none of that other matters individually to us unless we lift Him up in our lives. His death will be meaningless to us. His redemptive giving of His life for us, His blood that was shed, the body that was offered, will mean nothing the day of judgment if we have not lifted Him up in our lives. Tonight then, if that's the case, if you fail to lift Him up in your life, think about His death on the cross for each one of us. Think about His being raised from the dead on the third day, as prophesied so many times. Think about His being lifted up from the earth as the apostle soared, going up into the clouds of heaven and being received as He was lifted up to His throne by the God of heaven. All that means everything in the world to us if we lift Him up in our lives and in our hearts. His crucifixion will not have been in vain as far as we're concerned. His resurrection from the dead will not be, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, in vain, because He continues to live and so shall we. He's been lifted up from the earth to ascend to the right hand of the Father as King over His kingdom. We can be a member of that kingdom, that church, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. We'll be obedient to the gospel of Christ, believing Jesus to be the Son of God. If we repent of our sins, confess our faith in Him, and are baptized for the remission of sins, He allowed us to the church, Acts 2 and 47, which is His kingdom. Thus, His being enthroned at the right hand of God means everything to us. If we are a member of the body of Christ and have turned away back into the world, He who said, I am the light of the world, will lighten our lives as well, so that we then, in essence, can reflect His life to the world. He who says, I am the door, can open for an entrance to us if we will but return to Him and ask His forgiveness, knowing He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. tonight then as we speak of and read about and study the lifting up of Jesus. It's a fact that He's been lifted up on the cross. Fact that He's been lifted from the tomb. Fact that He's been lifted from the earth. And the fact that He was lifted to be enthroned at God's right hand. But is He lifted up in your life or in your heart? That's a question we can't answer. It's a question only you can answer, only I can answer for myself. As you consider that tonight, if you need to lift up Christ in your life, won't you come while we stand and while we sing together?